One of them is baby dedications, and we have two beautiful babies we're going to dedicate in a few minutes. And another one is baptism, and we're not going to baptize anyone tonight. It would be as cold as the last time if we did. That was so funny. We thought we had the water warm in the purse. Who was baptized in the cold water in here? Anybody? Tim was. It took good, and Michelle was. I tried to ask them what their name was, and they just said, I'll get it to you in a minute. It's normally really warm. So if you want to rebaptize, we'll do that for you. But that membership's the third area, and tonight we have two of the members. Now, there's one whole family that's joined our church, but they've been so busy with different things that they'll be here later on, the Bodenhammer family. But tonight, I want to ask Jamie King. Jamie, will you come up here, please? Cody Frazier, will you come up here, please? We'll do the babies in just a minute. Right here in front. Pastors, join me very quickly, would you? The ones that are here, real quick. Pastors in the back, would you join me real quick up here, please? And Pastor Matt's tied up. But come right up here and surround these two. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're coming. Some are still not showing up, but they will be, I'm sure. Oh, well, you're here. I was getting ready to get after my kid, and then she showed up. Cody Frazier and Jamie King, we have a gift for both of you. Pastor Benai, I'll grant that real quick. Huh? Oh, they've got them already. Thanks. We're going to have to move town and take a paper, aren't we? We were behind. Cody, would you like, just a thing, I'd like to do something. You have a very, very handsome and very intelligent brother-in-law. I do. Name is Scotty. And you have a beautiful sister by the name of Tara. Did you know this was Tara's brother? You want to come up here by him? You can cry up here as easy as you can cry down there. Scotty, come on. Surround Cody. Now, Natalie, you and Ruth come over here and surround Jamie. Because we're going to be his family here. And Benaiah. I'm going to read these. Cody, you've got yours. Jamie, you've got yours. But let me read them. And this is what it says. Certificate of membership certifies that Jamie King and Cody Frazier have publicly confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and has been received into full membership into the Sanctuary of Hope in Branson, Missouri on the 19th day of May in the year of our Lord 2019, and I signed it. And this won't get you saved, but it'll sure get you some pastors and a family. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this membership. This isn't about what this isn't just you're coming into this church and you're lucky to be in here. We're lucky to have you. We're blessed to have you. But if you come into a family, you don't come into a family and set. You come into a family and get involved somewhere. You both have talents and gifts, and I don't care if it's laying bricks or singing or whatever it is. There's things that need to be done in a family, and I'm going to expect you to be part of our family. We're going to treat you like family, and that's good. And we're going to love you like family. We're going to be with you like family, and I'm going to pastor you like a daddy and a pastor. So I might kick you in the, I might rebuke you, and I might, but it'll be done. I tell you, nothing will happen out of anything but love. Love. Yes, you'll need it. You'll need it. Everybody needs it. I need it. We love you. And we're so glad you're part of this family. I'm glad you chose us. We're honored to have you. Would you stand with me, please? Stretch your hand out toward these two new family members. Father God, we lay our hands on them right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for Cody and I thank you for Jamie. My God, I thank you, Lord, for their commitment to serve you. And their desire to live in this family. Lord, we accept them as members. We accept them as family. And God, we ask you to develop their gifts and talents. And Lord, we'll utilize them as they utilize us. And we together will serve you, Lord, and lead people to Jesus Christ together. It's a great family, and we praise you for them. So, Lord, we accept them in membership in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You is members right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, son. Cody, you can stay up here, and you can stay up here with him. Jamie, you can sit down, son. Love you. Tim, bring that boy and come up here just a second, will you? You all can stay up here. I don't know where you all going, pastors. We've got two more. It's nice bumping into you. We've got two baby dedications. What a joy. Raiden, is that little beautiful boy right there in a red shirt? And Presley, is this beautiful little girl? They're both calmer than I ever was when I was a baby. But I've got their dedications here. Presley, Frazier, I want you to listen to this. And Raiden, Durbin, I want you to listen to this. You're too little to... She's trying to kiss you, son. There. Thank you. Just take it. You'll be chasing her in 16 years. Y'all want to take pictures up here? Come on up. Is this family? Friends? Oh, good, good. Come up here. I'll get somebody. Here, Amy, come here. Just a second. Don't block. Mama, come on up here. You can get good shots. We're so glad that you're bringing these beautiful children to Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible said on the eighth day, which is Jewish tradition, on the eighth day after the birth of a baby, they're dedicated to the Lord. And that means this, that these babies are hearing my voice, and even though they may not react to what I'm saying, it's being stored in their brain, because every sound we hear in this incredible God we serve stores. He's happy. Where'd you go? Every sound is stored in their mind, and what I'm saying is going to be in their mind. Raiden, Presley, we're bringing you to Jesus. They hear me. We're bringing you to Jesus. And we're going to ask them to guide your little lives, that you at a young age will see your need for Jesus Christ and accept him into your heart. Until then, you're protected by the blessed love of God. But there will be a day of accountability that you need to make that decision, and Jesus will be there for you, and we will be there for you too. And these daddies will be there for you too. This certificate of dedication for Presley and Raiden says that they were dedicated to the Lord by their father, Cody Frazier, Presley's father, and church family, faithfully enter into the commitment to introduce her to the love and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ by his grace and work, and that Raiden, in the same way, we're dedicating you, and your father's holding you in commitment to introduce you to the love and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ by grace at work in us, and it's signed by me. This is Presley's, and this is Raiden's. Now, listen to me, guys. It's one thing for you to accept Jesus. That's vital. But now you've got a responsibility. You've got a responsibility to lead these babies to the knowledge of Jesus by the way you are, the way you think, the way you teach them. It's an awesome responsibility. It's a wonderful responsibility. And the day they come to Jesus, if you don't cry a box of tears, you'll be the first one, but I think you will. A day will come. But we're going to pray for you, and we're going to surround you as a family, and we're going to help you any way we can to make sure that we provide an environment that they'll love Jesus in, and that you take care of the rest, all right? Is there any pictures I'm blocking? No? Then I want you to stand again, please, and we're going to pray. We don't get tired of this. Stretch your hands this way. Father God, we lay hands on Presley and on Raiden. Mighty God, we dedicate them to you, Jesus. Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over them, and I pray for your protective hand over their lives. In every area of their life, that Jesus, you will put such a hunger in their young hearts to know you and to love you. God, give these men that inner godly responsibility to tell them about you. Jesus, I pray your protection over them in every area of their life. Bless them, Lord. Keep them, Jesus. Provide for them, Jesus. God, use them in the kingdom of God. Oh, God, I commit them to you right now. We give them to you, Lord, that in your name, God, you will keep them and strengthen them and bless them. So now, Lord, we commit these babies to you. Again, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Oh, that's good. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. 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 Isn't that good? Somebody say, yeah. Oh, man, you all did. That's wonderful. I love the Word, don't you? There's nothing like the Word of God. It's the bread of life. It's the water of life. It's the light of life. It's the pathway for us. It's everything that we need. And I'm so delighted that our pastors, God has given us many great, great, great men and women of God that bring the Word, and it's always a word that I need, a timely word for me. And I'm so glad to have Pastor Tim and Betty Snyder here. They don't sit together. It's something about their marriage. I don't know what it is. The truth is, Betty's more loyal to Tim's mom and dad than he is. And so, Johnny and Sarah, we're so glad to have you. I saw Pastor Tim standing in the back by Pastor Matt. And what you may or may not know is Pastor Tim and Pastor Matt's fathers, Hal Meadows and Johnny, right back there, who I'm no longer anybody here probably, and Johnny Snyder were best friends when they were young. So I walked back to the back, and they were standing there. I said, okay, Hal, Johnny, break it up, boys, and get in church. Second generation. Isn't that wonderful? And we've got new generations to come. But this is another generation now. And I'm so honored to have Benaiah Snyder. I want to tell you something, folks. Pray that you get a son-in-law that treats your daughter the way my son-in-law treats my daughter. There's no threats to make him love her. There's no ultimatums. He does it all by himself. She's the queen of his life. And he didn't just do that. He learned how to do that from a father that treated his wife that way and his mother. And we're doing our best to teach our daughter how to treat a man. And she's done a fine, fine job. So if you're done getting ready, I want you to welcome Pastor Benaiah Snyder as he brings the word to us. Amen.
I'm excited. And I was given a mint, and they said, put it in your mouth. It's a 5-minute mint, so you get done pretty fast. And we know who did that. But I wanted to start with a joke, because most of the time I end up crying. So I told Natalie, I was like, I want to start with a joke. She's like, don't start with a joke. And I was like, I just want to start with a joke. So I'm going to start with a joke. It said, a man died and went to heaven, and he was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter, who led him down the golden streets. They passed stately homes and beautiful mansions until they came to the end of the street, where they stopped in front of a rundown cabin. The man asked St. Peter why he got the hut when there were so many stately mansions that he could live in. St. Peter replied, I did the best with the money you sent us. I liked it. When I was getting this ready too, Natalie also said, she's like, there's nothing to, you don't have to tell a joke. She's like, when Jesus preached his first message, they tried to carry him off to a cliff and kill him. She's like, if they don't do that, you did okay. I said, I'll tell a joke. But I want to start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you speak this word that you put on my heart, God. God, I pray that you equip us, guide us, direct us. God, I pray that you open our ears so we can hear and our minds so that we can just catch what you have. God, I pray that I'm able to speak what's in my heart in your name. Amen. This word was given to me at a time of disappointment. And it was one of those things that took the wind out of me. And I had to really lean into the Holy Spirit. And I had to rely on him because I was searching for answers. And God gave me this message. And I was telling Pastor Sam about it. And we had, it was Natalie's turn to speak on a Wednesday night. And so I had taken the kids and so she could study, because you can't study with kids. Because, you know, mom. So I'd taken them, and I was talking to Pastor Sam, and I said, this hurt a lot. But I said, God give me a word out of this. And he said, well, I want you to share it. I said, okay. And I got home, and I was talking to Natalie. I said, well, what God put on your heart? And she said, it was amazing. God put the process to the promise. I said, you can't use it. I just told Sam that that was mine. But she did. And it's funny how God, he puts all things in order, and he confirms the word. And there's been so many confirmations, because I was telling Sam, I was like, you know, I feel this is part of a series, but I was going to be in here. And the first one was one I taught in Restoration Connection called Dreams. And I was like, I think this is going to tie into that. And he didn't know what I preached in there, but he used the text this morning of what I preached in there. So here I am. But first, I want to talk about disappointment. And as Christians, we're all going to face disappointment. We're all going to walk through disappointment. And it's not a popular subject, but it's one that I like to address because I always think that we should be equipped. And life has pain. In life, you're going to face rejection and hurt. And sometimes it's from family, sometimes it's at work, and sometimes it's here at church. And I can remember my dad always telling me growing up, he'd say, whenever I'd have a hard time, he'd say, son, he said, don't let it control you. Don't let it control you. And, you know, I'd go ahead and give my spill about how it wasn't controlling me, but it was. He said, because if it controls you, you're going to have unforgiveness. You're going to have bitterness. You're going to hold on to it. And so don't let it control you. And, you know, we don't often like to face it. In our Christian walk, it's something that we have to push through. We have to strive through. And with all the promises that's in the Bible, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know the plans that I have for you. I will never leave you or forsake you. With all those promises, is mixed into that is life. And it's something that we all face. Pain, rejection, disappointment, a stab in the back, heartache. Instead of doing what's right, we hold on to it. We get wounded. And the word, I'm going to be in 2 Timothy 4. I'm going to be in Genesis 2. NASB. But the word gives us an apostle that shares his heart with his student. And it's something that it's contrary to the name it and claim it message. Name it, claim it, grab it, stab it, nearly stab the church to death. Because it sets people up to, whenever it doesn't happen, they think, well, I did it wrong. He must not have heard me. And some people leave the faith altogether. And that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Because we got to learn how to navigate through disappointment. Disappointment's going to come. It's how we navigate through it. And so in Paul's letter to Timothy, we see that in 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 9. It says, make every effort to come to me, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. You see, Demas was a student of Paul. He had probably been saved under Paul. He had been taught. He had been tutored. Paul had poured into him. But he says in his letter to Timothy, Demas is left. And that's hard for a person of ministry to watch someone leave, because it's not that they left you. It's that he loved this world and he left Christ. And the heartbeat is a soul. That's a soul that was lost. That's a soul that walked away, and someone like Paul can't handle that. And so he's writing to Timothy, and he says, make every effort to come to me. Pick up Mark with you and bring him with you, for he's useful to me. I'm going to skip on down. He also talks about Alexander the coppersmith. Alexander hurt me deeply. Alexander, see, this, the first one was a wound from someone leaving. The next one is a wound from someone attacking. And he said he opposed our teaching. He opposed us. So that's two attacks. And in the very next scripture it says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. You see, Paul had poured out. Earlier in that scripture, he says, my cup has been poured out. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. And you see where Paul has poured his life out completely. And right at the end, all deserted. No one was there to stand by him. But you see, this is my favorite part, because if you read, he spells it out for all of us to use when we face disappointment. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me, see, he's still on a mission, so that through me the proclamation might fully be accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the mouth of the lion. See, Nero was feeding Christians in the Colosseum to the lions, and he said, you know, no, I didn't, the Lord saved me from that. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his kingdom. And to him be the glory forever and ever, amen. See, we're going to face disappointment. It's how we handle it. We have to trust, we have to rely on, we have to put our whole hope We have to know that when all abandon us, He will never leave us or forsake us. He will never leave you high and dry. Whenever everyone else does, whenever everyone turns their back, He never will. The process to the promise is waiting. Now, for those of you who know me, you know that I am phenomenal at waiting. Not so much. When I turned my life around, I better put this in. When I turned my life around and gave my life back to Christ, I had passion. I had a lot of passion. I had a zeal. And in that, the first thing, you're like, man, I want to be used. I want to be used for the kingdom. I want to be used. And so Natalie and I talked to Dad, Pastor Sam, and said, is there a job that we could do? We have passion. And so he said, yeah. He said, I need someone to clean the church. Let me tell you, my passion died at the bathrooms. Died. And especially the women's bathroom. I'd pray through every time I went in there, God, God, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It was so bad I made a deal with Natalie. I said, you clean those bathrooms, I will vacuum this whole church. And she took me up on it. You see, sometimes waiting is a time of refining. I needed some stuff taken out of my life. I wanted a job with significance. And I prayed. I was like, God, you know, all those prophecies, you know, every time someone prophesied over me, I was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, God, you called me the nations, not the sanitations. But I needed that out. See, in that time, God was teaching me how to be humble and be obedient. Because obedience and trust is the key. The word process actually means a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. God refines us so we can handle the weight of the next step so it doesn't crush us. When you only tolerate your process, it reveals a character flaw that you need more process. And so God refined me in cleaning. And then I went to the next step, which was in the nursery. And I learned to survive on empty. Because we would come, be driving down, I'd be like, man, I just need a word. I need refreshed. And Natalie would look over at me and, you know, one of the nursery workers would be sick or something and couldn't make it. And she'd say, after you play the bass, come in here to the nursery and help me. We're in there today. And I would just think, oh, I just want to go back to cleaning. But in that time, God helped me. And I'm not bragging. I hate braggers. I'm just telling my story. But in that time, I received a card from a special woman. And she said, enjoy the process. And I wrote that down in my heart. Enjoy the process. Sometimes disappointment is tied into the promise. I'm going to talk about Jacob. And this is going to be Genesis 28 and 29. And I'm going to skip around and tell a story I'm not going to read. But Jacob had been blessed by Isaac. He had received the blessing of Abraham through Isaac. And he had been sent to Laban to find a wife. And on his journey to Laban, God gives him a dream. Genesis 28:13. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and God of Isaac. The land which you lie, I will give you. And it will be to your descendants, and your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth and spread out as far as from west to the east and the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. I gotta get rid of that mint. Not gonna need that. Then Jacob awoke from the sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this gate, and this is the gate of heaven. And then Jacob continued his journey to Laban. And he found some shepherds watering the sheep at a well. And he said, do you know Laban? And they said, yeah, we know Laban. He said, is it well with him? They said, yeah, it's well with him. Actually, here comes Rachel. Here comes Rachel. That's the daughter of Laban. And you see, Jacob, he runs to the well, he opens the well to water the sheep, then he runs to Rachel, gives her a kiss, and weeps out loud. Now, if I would have done that whenever I seen Natalie for the first time, but you see passion. See, Jacob had a promise, and Jacob had a covenant, and Isaac said, go marry one of Laban's daughters. And then he sees Rachel. And Rachel takes him back to Laban, and they get to meet each other. And Laban says, stay and work with me, for you're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And so Jacob does, and he says, in return, I want Rachel. And so he works for 7 years for Rachel. But you see, Laban had two daughters. One was Leah, one was Rachel. And it says here, the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and face. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years and if you give her to me. And he said, I will give her to you. I would rather give her to you than to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years, and it seemed like but a few days because of his love for her. You see, she was beautiful in form and face, so it was just like a couple days. But on the time when they were supposed to get married, you see where Jacob had the big celebration. And then, so it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. He got the wrong one. And we can all say, well, how did you not know? How did you not know? But there's times in all of our lives where we've jumped into something, where we've overextended ourselves, where we've thought we were going to get really rich, so we gave all our money and then we wound up broke. Or we've rushed into a relationship when everyone was saying, just hold on. And then, behold, there was Leah. Mine was, behold, there are bathrooms to clean. But either way, behold, there was Leah. And Jacob told Laban, he said, "What have you done to me?" You see, Rachel represents everything we love, we strive for, we hope for, we dream about. She represents the finer things of life. Our hearts leap for joy, our plans work out. Just like we thought, we reach our goals. Leah represents disappointment, hurt, pain, broken dreams, wasted time, frustration, canceled plans, tricks, deception, lies, the weary things of life, the discouraging things. How many times in our life were we dreaming of Rachel, but behold, there was Leah? Lovely, well-favored Rachel turns into tender-eyed, disappointed Leah. She's never invited into our lives. She shipwrecks our dreams. But you see, in this, we also see Laban and how he had a father's heart. He said, it's not a custom to marry off the younger daughter before the older. He knew if Rachel was married, that Leah probably would never be married. Even though he did get 7 more years out of Jacob, he had a father's heart. But you also see where it talks about Jacob, and it says that Jacob didn't just not like Leah, he hated her. He hated what had happened to him, he hated the trick. And so you see where God's seen that. It says God saw that Jacob hated Leah. And so what did he do? He closed off Rachel's womb and opened Leah's. See, sometimes when we're hating our disappointment and we're hating our Leah, our promise gets closed off. Everyone say amen. Our promise gets closed off. You see, Leah exposes our weaknesses. You draw near to the Lord when you wake up with Leah. But you see, Leah gives birth to what you didn't think you need. You see, in that time where the Lord had shut up Rachel, he opened Leah's womb. And guess what Leah had? She had 4 sons. She had Reuben, which means a vision of a son. You see, when you have a Leah, your eyes are opened. Your eyes are open to others. You see what they're going through. You're not so judgmental because you woke up one day and you had a Leah in your life. The second son she had was Simeon, which means to hear. When you wake up with Leah, your ears are opened. You hear the cries of people. And guess what? You spend more time with God. You go to your prayer closet like this morning and you pray and you cry out and you say, you know what? I need an answer. I need an answer. You see, the Lord unstops your ears when you get a Leah. The next son she had Levi. She had Levi, which means to associate with. From what Jacob hated, God birthed the Levitical priesthood. Think of that. They were the only ones that could come into the Holy of Holies. They were the only ones that could bring in the sacrifice for the atonement of sin for Israel. And that was out of Leah. You see, back in the scripture that I read in Genesis 28, where God gave him a dream, he said, from out of your descendants, the whole earth would be blessed. From out of your descendants, Jacob thought it was Rachel. But God had another plan. He had Leah. And guess what her next son was? Judah, which means to praise. And from out of the tribe of Judah came the line of the tribe of Judah, the Savior. Because whenever you wake up with Leah, you get your life right. You get everything in order. You come to repentance when you wake up with Leah. We will always be focused on the promise But God is focused on the process. Rather than hate the process and the disappointment, embrace it. Love it. Accept it. You cannot rewrite history. You can't go back in time and redo it all. You can't. Your salvation might have been born out of your Leah. You might have got your life right. I know I did. And you can go ahead and come. But you see, at the end of Jacob's life, he didn't want to be buried with Rachel. He said, bury me . He charged his sons and he said, I'm about to be gathered with my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave of the field of Ephron the Hittite. I want to be buried with Abraham and his wife Sarah. I want to be buried with Isaac and his wife Rebekah. And I want to be buried with Leah. He didn't want to be buried with Rachel. Because the thing that he hated the most, he saw it ended up loving him the most. Leah loved him the most. She gave him sons, and she gave him a heritage. Now, God put this on my heart because this area and this church is in a process. We're getting ready. God's getting ready to pour out his spirit over this place. But we're going through the process right now. And that's healing. It's not a popular subject, but it's one that we're dealing with because we need healed. See, we can all have Leahs in our life, whether we want to admit it or not. But in that, we have our eyes opened. We have our ears opened. We get drawn to repentance, and we get drawn to salvation. All because we start loving what we came out of. And we're able to pour our hearts into people that are going through the exact same thing. You can look and see the hurt. And you can say, I woke up one day to Leah, but I know someone who could be with you. I know someone that can take care of you. I know someone that can heal you from all your hurts. He'll stick closer than a brother. He'll be with you when no one is. All we have to do is set our eyes on him. Set our eyes on the hope of what he's done in all of us, because it's coming. If you want to stand up,